Hello, my name is Stephanie Sanek, and I'm the Acting Director of the Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Program and Deputy Director and Senior Fellow in the International Security Program here at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Today, I have with me Robin Simcox and Emily Dyer, Research Fellows at the Henry Jackson Society. The Henry Jackson Society is a London-based research organization focused on democratic foreign policy, good governance, and human rights worldwide. Robin and Emily are also the authors of that organization's newly released publication, Al-Qaeda in the United States, A Complete Analysis of Terrorism. This volume constitutes the most in-depth analysis of Al-Qaeda terrorism in the United States to date. Robin and Emily, thanks for being here today. Robin, can you please provide some insight as to what this report is about and what it contains?
Sure, Stephanie. This report is an attempt to track trends within the Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda-inspired movement in the United States by looking at those who've passed through the U.S. court system, be it federal and military. It's a 15-year look at the organization starting from 1997 and an attempt to track key trends within the movement by looking at things such as their age, their gender, their nationality, their occupation, their education levels, where they lived, whether they were religious converts, whether they'd received terrorist training, whether they had combat experience, and then begin to try and draw conclusions and trends by looking at this overall threat and how it's developed over a significant time period.
Emily, what are some of the major trends or findings in this report, and what conclusions have you made about the nature of Al-Qaeda in the United States?
Well, Stephanie, something this report forces us to do is to completely change our perception of the threat facing the United States today. We did come across several trends that weren't surprising to us. The fact that the majority of individuals were young men, one-third were aged 20 to 24, wasn't particularly surprising. We did come across several stories that did surprise us. There was one 64-year-old woman named Hawa Mohammed Hassan, who raised money within her local community in Minnesota, claiming to be sending money to charitable aid efforts in Somalia, when in fact she was transferring money to the terrorist group Al-Shabaab. So there are several stories that don't fit the trends that we came across. However, while it's not surprising that the majority are young men, what is surprising is who these young men are. Now, we came up with a statistic that 54% of the threat were US citizens, which is significantly higher than Saudi Arabia, for example, with 9%, and Pakistan, we had 6% Pakistanis. And these aren't just people that have gained US citizenship later in life. I mean, 36% of the threat were actually born within the US, which is quite contrary to, I think, many people's perceptions of what the threat is. Also, the perception that these offenders turn to terrorism because they've fallen on hard times and they have a lack of opportunities is definitely true in many cases. However, 57% of the individuals we were looking at were in some form of education or employment, which suggests that rather than being marginalised from the system, they are actually being the passing through it and thriving from it before turning to terrorism.
Robin, is that information something that makes this report so important? What impact do you think or hope this report will have on policymakers and practitioners who are working to address the issue of Al-Qaeda in the United States?
Well, I hope it's important, and I hope it's first and foremost of use to those in the U.S. who have to make policy, the practitioners, the government, those who have to deal with combating this threat day in, day out. In terms of it's not a report where there's a whole tranche of policy recommendations, because that wasn't the idea behind the original research. What we wanted to do was give an entire exhaustive and thorough data set. So any policymaker, practitioner now in the US has a complete idea of who these individuals are, what kind of offences they committed, and all the background information that you would hopefully want to know to make an informed decision about where this threat is coming from. And that's the main aim for the report, certainly from our point of view.
Robin, what are the major challenges you see with regard to Al-Qaeda in the United States? Did you note any emerging trends that are especially worrying and that we should be watching for in the future?
There are certainly a lot of major challenges. I think one of the trends that came out in the research that really surprised me was the threat from religious converts. Religious converts make up nearly one quarter of all those individuals we profiled. But I would say generally that the predictability of the threat is in its unpredictability. The threat in the US is so unbelievably diverse that it creates such a great challenge for those tasked with dealing with it. So my concern would be the stats and the data we brought together showing just how hard it is really to focus on one specific cause that would lead people to terrorism. There are so many different types of personality, different types of individual with different background level and economic and social status, that it is a huge challenge for law enforcement and government to try and get a handle on this problem. And so that's where I hope this report can at least make some contribution in making that task a little easier.
Excellent. Robin Simcox, Emily Dyer, both research fellows at the Henry Jackson Society and authors of Al-Qaeda in the United States, A Complete Analysis of Terrorism Offenses, thank you so much for joining us today.